Welcome to Trivia with Will and Reed, the trivia game from O Brother Radio.
We've got questions and hopefully you've got answers, so grab a pen and paper and play along. You'll either know a bunch or learn a lot. Either way, you're a winner.
Welcome into Trivia with Will and Reed. And Will, lock me there. That's Reed, lock me there. That is Gelderman pushing all the buttons, making the whole thing run. All right, this is going to be a fun one. This is such an interesting thing that happened. So this week, your game, you'd written a game and you were going to be hosting at the Electric.
That's right.
So it came up at the last minute.
Yes.
So I had to like jet down there and host it. And I told the players there, it was a packed room. And I was like, look, I was like, if you like Reed's hosting style, but my game style, you're in for a doozy tonight.
Yeah.
Because you got me.
Opposite of that.
And you've got Reed's game. And so, you know, it was really, that was such a crazy afternoon for me as well. And so the first time I really read through the game was when I was giving it.
Yeah.
And it was funny because there's some things in this where I was like, wait, what is this? And of course, everybody had a lot of fun with it. And it was good. So here's how we're going to do this. Since I've already played it.
Right.
You and I will be giving this game, which would be fun. Gelderman has not heard any of it.
So, not at all.
Yeah. So he's in brand new. And Wayne Rogers is here with us. He's the chair of the Jefferson County Democrats. Yep. And so he's going to be playing. And you play some trivia, right,
Wayne? I love trivia. Okay. When my family and I, we love to go to, when we're on vacation, I have three adult kids all in their mid-30s. But we still try to take a vacation together every couple of years. And we'll always like find a trivia bar and go play trivia together.
Well, you got to come hang out with us. We host a game at the Electric in Bluff Park.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Every Tuesday. So Reed and I kind of rotate on that. Mm-hmm. And then Reed hosts a game at Diplomat Deli every other Wednesday in Vestavia. Cool. Okay. So great stuff. All right, Reed, you get started here. I'll say this, our high score, I have it on my phone, but I think it was 91.
Okay.
Which was kind of outstanding.
Yeah.
This is a tough game. The low score, though, was 54, which is actually not.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible at all. So 92 and 54.
Okay.
Lila was my assistant that night. So.
All right. So we're going to see if we can beat 92, but at the very least, we want to get above 54 points. Okay.
There you go.
Here are the questions in round one. Question number one, the most common translation of Matthew 19:24, or translations of Matthew 19:24 state that, quote, it is easier for a blink to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So the most common translations of Matthew say that it is easier for a blink to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Question number two, this is not all Bible trivia, by the way, Wayne, in case you were just thinking that the whole thing was going to be Bible trivia.
I did tell those players, though, that when we were kids, you were on the Bible drill team.
Yeah. Bible drill? Drill? I was a member of the Bible drill squad. Yes.
That's right. People would not guess nowadays, but yeah.
What is Bible drill?
I certainly was on Bible drill myself, Reed, and I was a middle school Sunday school teacher for over 30 years.
See, nice. I feel like Wayne's going to know this one. Question number two, it was 1968 when Procter & Gamble dropped, quote, newfangled potato chips from the official name of what totally tubular brand of chip they had introduced just the year before. And question number three, when Huntsville, Alabama native Jimmy Wales appeared on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on November 4th of 2006, he was asked questions under the topic, quote, it must be true. I read it on blank. All right. So there are the questions for round one. Gelderman and Wayne, let's talk about what we think the answers might be.
So, Wayne, here's how we do this. You and Gelderman can discuss. If we need to, we could phone a friend possibly. It has to be one of my friends. And then once you come up with your answers, based on how confident you are, you assign points, right? So the most confident, you give it a 5. The one then with the next level of confidence, a 3. And then the one you're least confident, give it a 1. But if you and Gelderman think that you know all of the answers and you're sure, you can go for 11 and get 11 points. If you miss one, though, you get 0.
If you went for 11.
I believe in us.
So okay. We're together. I'm not sure about question number 3 there, Gelderman. I know 1 and 2.
I know 2 for sure, and I forgot what question number 3 was.
Question number 3 was Jimmy Wales, Huntsville, Alabama native.
I think I know it, but I'm not totally sure. So I think we go number 1, 5, number 2, 3, and number 3.
So what are your answers?
Oh, yeah. So Camel.
Camel for sure.
Number 1.
And then number 2 is Pringles.
We know that.
Totally tubular.
And my answer to number 3 would be the internet.
Okay. I was going to say online.
Oh, online.
But on the internet makes more sense.
Okay. All right, so you want to get 5, 3, and 1?
Five, three, and one.
Okay, Will, what are the correct answers?
All right, so for number one, yeah, that's correct. It was camel. And I had a listener come up and explain that whole why it's a camel and how that whole thing works.
Oh,
and
interesting.
We don't have that enough time to do that. But it was very
interesting. I know that story.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, that checks out.
Okay.
Number two, Pringles. I think that's the easiest question of the game.
Gotcha.
Probably with that. Probably so. The tubular stuff. And then number three, the answer there is it must be true. I read it on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Huntsville native Jimmy Wales is the founder of Wikipedia.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know that. So when I was reading this, I read it, you know, a couple of times and I was like, yep, don't worry about this first part. But now
he's a notable person because he founded Wikipedia. Huh.
I forgot about that.
There you go.
All right. Hey, we did a good job there not going for the 11.
That's right. Yeah, smart with your points. All right. Round two. Here are the questions. Question number one, although some doubt that Robert Mushtar from Carthage, New York, has completed what's known as a 900 series on more than one occasion, one thing's for sure. If he has, then he's pretty darn good at what sport slash leisure activity. So if this guy actually completed a 900 series on more than one occasion, then he's really good at what sport slash
Wayne is
leisure
activity. Nodding his head. And
I know Wayne's over here with a pen and paper. I'm intimidated, and I have my own pen and paper.
I was about to say, you also have pen and paper. So.
I know, but I keep track of the score.
Yeah, this is officially the most notepads we've ever had going during one game of trivia in the studio.
It's scary.
Hey, and I'll say this, for this next question, Reed, this is one that I know like the back of my hand.
Right.
And so for that, they can use me as a phone-a-friend for this one.
Because you certainly would have known the answer.
Right. So if they don't, I knew this before I had read the game. So.
Yeah, it's kind of fortuitous that Will wound up having to cover for this game because this question is right in his wheelhouse, or wheelhouse, I guess we'll say. All right. BASE, as in base jumping, is an acronym in which the letter B stands for what? So when people talk about base jumping, the letter B stands for what in the acronym BASE, B-A-S-E. Question number three, which of the following words appears in Henry Sagerman's list of, quote, reasonably clearly autological words? So I'm going to give you...
He'll need to read this one to you like six times, probably.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to give you a list of four words. One of them is reasonably clearly autological. Which one is it? All right. The words are, and boy, Will, now that I reread this question, I'm so sorry I did this to you. I didn't mean to have you have to read this question aloud to the audience. All right. The words are cleave. So C-L-E-A-V-E. Pentasyllabic. Yeah. So P-E-N-T-A-S-Y-L-L-A-B-I-C. Pentasyllabic. Race car. Right, R-A-C-E-C-A-R, or floxinoxini hilopilification. How'd you do with that one, Will, by the way?
Well, it took a little bit. I mean, I went through it slowly, as I saw it the first time, and I would get it correct, but I never got it that fast.
Yeah, floxinoxini hilopilification.
Yeah.
All right, so which of those words, cleave, pentasyllabic, race car, or floxinoxini hilopilification, is reasonably clearly autological?
I'll say this. It got to the point where most of the teams had to come up to my computer and I had to cover up all the answers so they could read those words.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I got the first three.
I feel so bad about this question. Okay.
Pentasyllabic, I did get, but I was like, if you want to see that, just to make sure I'm pronouncing
it. Okay, so guys, let's go through all three of these. What do we think the answers might be for the 900 series, the B and base, and which of those words is autological?
Okay, so I've got the 900 series nailed.
Oh, perfect. I know that. I was just going to guess.
What were you going to guess, Gelderman?
Well, so I was going to guess golf.
No.
Because I feel like we have a lot of golf questions.
And you're a golfer, Gelderman.
And I'm a golfer. I'm a seasoned pro.
He played one time.
Hold on. But it was a perfect game.
Yeah.
In the sense that I just followed.
300? You shot 300? Yeah.
And the more points you have, the better is what I've been told.
That's the way teams work, right?
Yeah.
Wayne,
what
is the answer? The actual answer is bowling.
How do you know that so easily?
Because 12 strikes in a row is a 300 game in bowling.
Yeah.
And then if you throw 36 strikes in a row, that's a 900 series. So it's a perfect game of bowling.
I definitely knew about the 300, the 12 strikes, and all that. But I'd never heard. I could have guessed this. I would have had an educated guess. But I've never heard 900 series. I didn't know anyone had done
Wayne, are you a bowler?
Not at all, but I'm just familiar with the scoring system. Good.
All right, so the B in base, as in base jumping stands.
Okay, we're going to phone a friend and get
ready. Do you have any guesses, though?
My guess was going to be base. B for base.
So I think we know what base jumping is, right?
Yeah, base jumping. Yeah, it's like when you jump off a mountain without a, like you've got a parachute, but you.
So when you're jumping off something that's not like an airplane or a balloon or
skydiving.
Yeah, right. You can jump like off a really high bridge or something like that.
Okay.
That's base jumping. So I'm going to say it might be bridge, but I'm not sure that that's, I'm kind of lost on that one. So.
Okay.
So we're going to phone a friend and ask.
Yeah. So here's the cool thing about this. If you, and I have several friends have done it. I kind of retired from the sport before I was able to, but if you do all four, you get a tattoo, the base tech, because you do the B, the A, the S, and the E.
So is it bridge?
No, it is building.
Building. Yeah,
so building is that one. That and then I was going to say antenna, span, and earth.
So instead of bridge, you get span as the...
Span is the bridge.
Wait, building, antenna, span, and earth?
Yeah.
But I think there's a fifth one if you jump off of the top of James Spann's head.
That's true. He gets angry about it.
He does. Okay, and then the third question, which of those words is ontological?
So
it's got to be the last one.
It's got to be the last one because there are clear sort of definitions for the other words that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be whatever the last word was.
Flox and I help pilification. Yeah, which is, that was really good.
Dang,
yeah,
Wayne. I need to be taking more notes. I'm learning lessons right now.
How do you do your points here then?
Okay, I think the first one five, the second three, one three, and then the third
flux
one,
one.
All right, so indeed bowling, yes. And of course, Will knows all about skydiving, so that's great. So building for base. And then the autological word is actually pentasyllabic.
And I couldn't figure this out. I mean,
sorry, I told people
the definition of autologic, whatever, all that, but I still couldn't figure
the word
why this one was.
Pentasyllabic has five syllables, and pentasyllabic means five syllables. Okay. Floxinoxinihyl pilification, by the way, is a fun word because it's an extraordinarily long word.
Yeah.
What is it?
So it's like the estimation of something as being generally worthless. Floxinoxinihyl pilification.
Well, we talked about some of those folks earlier tonight.
Yeah, they're
generally worthless people.
Yeah. All right. And just so we're clear, Wayne's not dehumanizing anyone.
No.
He's just talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Totally not.
Political opponents with whom he really disagrees.
There you go. Right. So we got 8 points on that one.
Yeah.
So far, 8 points the first two rounds each one.
Okay. All right. Round three. Here we go.
Okay.
Born on June 7th of 1905, James J. Braddock was a boxer known by the nickname Blank Man. All right, so James J. Braddock is now a relatively well-known boxer, known by the nickname Blank Man. Question number two, if a dingo eats your baby, that means your baby has been eaten by a type of wild what? And then question number three, in the Mario Brothers universe, a Koopa, spelled K-O-O-P-A, is a fictional species of what reptile? All right, so there are the questions for this round. Guys, what do we think the answers might be?
Feel pretty good. What was the first question again?
James J. Braddock was a boxer known by the nickname Blank Man.
Actually, never mind. Yeah, I was going to say Punch Man.
I feel like Wayne knows this, so I didn't know.
I think it's Elephant Man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that sounds...
Now, I'm not totally sure about that, but I think it's Elephant Man.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
So. More than Punch Man. And what was question number two?
Yeah, question number two was if a dingo eats your baby, it was eaten by a type of wild...
Now, this is a wild dog?
It's a wild dog,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a dingo is a wild dog in Australia.
Okay. Yeah. And then question number three...
And that's also a plot line in Seinfeld.
That's right. Which, you know, the whole deal was that lady...
The dingo ate my baby.
It's a prison. The dingo ate my baby. They're like, yeah, sure. And she went to prison for killing her child.
Oh, yes.
Turns out, like 20 years later, they figured out, no, actually a dingo did eat
dingo
her baby.
Dingo ate her baby, which is a very sad story.
Terrible.
And then, so in Mario Brothers, Koopas are types of what?
Turtles.
Yeah, that's a turtle. It's got to be a
turtle. How do you want to do points?
Five or three, but number one will go one.
Yeah, I would say the first one, one, then five, then three.
That's smart.
Yeah. Well, what are the answers?
Yeah. So number one, the answer is Cinderella Man.
Oh,
I know, but here's the thing. I didn't know that, and I don't think many teams got that
correct. Was Elephant Man's name maybe John Merrick?
I think
that might be right.
That's it.
And then you guys got that dingo is a dog or a wolf, and then turtles. That's right.
All right.
Okay.
Which we have a weekly Mario Kart tournament at my house, and I don't know that I would have... I mean, I would have had an educated guess.
Yeah.
I probably would have guessed turtles, but
Koopas.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. Round four, Reed.
All right. So this is the round of analogies, and here they are. All right. So Bill Bixby is to David Banner, as Lou Ferrigno is to blank. All right. So Bill Bixby is to David Banner, as Lou Ferrigno is to what? Question number two, Olive Garden is to Italian, as Benihana is to what? All right, so Olive Garden is to Italian, as Benihana is to what? And then question number three, Oprah is to Winfrey, as Dr. Phil is to what? All right, so there are the questions for round four, the round of analogies. What do we think we know here?
All right, I think I know all three of them.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's great.
But I'm
this
not
is fantastic news.
Completely sure. I mean, I guarantee you I know the first one.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I thought that one was so easy. There were some teams that got that wrong, which I was surprised by.
Now, what was the first question again?
So, here's the thing. I bet Gelderman doesn't even know what this question is about.
Yeah, because it's long before he was born.
Bill Bixby is to David Banner, as Lou Ferrigno is to what?
Oh. So Bill Bixby played David Banner on a show called The Incredible Hulk, and Lou Ferrigno played the Incredible Hulk.
There you go. Okay, see, Gelderman did
know
that.
No, I've met Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, what? Oh, well,
that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a neato-meato with Lou Ferrigno.
No, at this point, I had learned my lesson.
Oh, okay.
didn't embarrass myself at all. I
still think it's not embarrassing, Gelderman.
Are you Lou Ferrigno? And he went, yeah.
Wait, how about that? You just randomly met him?
Yeah.
Quickly, give us a story.
Where'd you meet him?
It was in Huntsville. I don't know.
What do you mean? You're just walking in Huntsville? You don't even know why you were there?
I'd gone with my friend, Jacob. He wanted to go to Huntsville.
Why was Lou Ferrigno in Huntsville?
I'm not sure.
There's so much missing from this story. What were you doing in Huntsville?
My friend wanted to take a day trip just to go to Huntsville.
You just
back in high school.
Drove to Huntsville?
Yeah, I used to take day trips all the time.
Isn't Lou Ferrigno deaf, I think? Did you?
He is. Or he was partially deaf for sure.
Do you think you met the real Lou Ferrigno?
I thought I did.
Maybe.
Maybe I didn't.
Was there no discussion of what you doing here, Lou?
Well, okay.
You didn't want to make him angry?
Didn't want to have another neato-meato moment, you see.
You try to limit it.
Yeah, so I limit my interaction. At this point, now I don't. But
Gelderman, don't let us talk you out of you having met Lou Ferrigno.
Now I'm scared. What if I haven't met Lou Ferrigno?
No, you did. No.
Okay.
Your reality is that you met Lou Ferrigno in Huntsville.
Well, we can just decide what reality is.
Okay. Starting to feel like the whole thing was a dream.
All right, let's go next to what kind of food is Benihana?
It's Japanese.
Okay, now this I didn't know.
I learned this answer as well.
I don't feel like we have Benihanas around.
It's like a California thing for the most part. Well, I guess because I hear podcasts, people in California talk about Benihana all the time.
Yeah, I think there's one in Atlanta.
Maybe
so. Unless there may be an episode of The Office where they went to Benihana. Don't quote me on that, but I think there might have been. Maybe.
I think you're right.
I think so.
And then what is Dr. Phil's last name?
Okay, so this I'm questioning myself because the name that popped into my head is wrong. What popped in my head was Phil Donahue, but that's a different guy.
Oh, that's a different guy.
So it's not come up with Dr. Phil's last name. It's not Phil Collins, it's not Phil Donahue.
And here I was in my mind trying to go, now what is Dr. Phil's first name? Which makes no sense.
Uh-oh, Gelderman.
Philip.
Yeah. So I'm blanking on Dr. Phil's last name. Dr. Phil, I can't come up with it.
What if it were Adelphia? That would be cool.
Oh,
that would,
wow. Yeah.
It's not.
So
but that
I
would
knew
be
this
great.
One too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dr. Phil.
Could that be a phone a friend situation?
Do we want to phone a friend?
It's up to Reed. It's his game.
If you knew it.
I definitely knew this.
Let's let Will.
Okay, let's go with full phone Will.
Think country singer Tim.
Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil McGraw. Okay.
To me, it always makes him sound like a crime-fighting dog to me. Yeah. I know it's McGraw,
that does.
But still, yeah. Okay.
All right. So how do you guys want to do points
I'd go for the 11 on this.
All right.
I think
let's go 11.
Yeah, 11 points. That's right. So Incredible Hulk, that's correct. Japanese is right. Benihana is Japanese. And then Phil McGraw.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Gelderman points update. Where are you guys standing?
We're sitting at 35 points, which is pretty great.
It's pretty good.
Through four rounds, especially since the low score is 54.
Okay.
We'll take it.
Round five. Question number one. On March 5th of 2019, beloved Jeopardy host Alex Trebek, of course, announced that he had been diagnosed, very unfortunately, with stage four cancer that originated in which organ? Right. So Alex Trebek, of course, later then, very tragically died of cancer that had originated in which organ? Question number two. According to a USA Today article from 2014, CISRP, which is also known as purple drink or lean, is most commonly a mixture of three ingredients. You just have to name one of them. What is one of the ingredients of CISRP, right? And then question number three, there
are... I hated how fast I came up to the mic on that one.
Gilderman knew this. And then finally, there are how many prime numbers between 50 and 60? How many prime numbers are there between 50 and 60? All right, guys, so there are the questions for round five. What do we know?
I'm trying to do the math in my head.
I think there's two, 53 and 59.
That right. Sounds right.
Because 51. Boy,
Wayne, that was quick. What was your method? Was. What was your method for determining the number of prime numbers?
So, so 3 times 17 is 51, and okay. 3 times 19 is 57.
Okay.
And it can't be any even number, and it can't be 55. So it's got it. So what's left is 53 and 59.
Look at that process of elimination. That was great. That was great math. And you weren't even taught math using the new math teaching method.
That's right. I was taught math in the 60s.
But just to be clear.
We had to memorize stuff.
That's right, exactly.
I think a lot of what you just did, though, is actually the newer method of teaching math. That's
interesting.
Great.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay.
Yeah. Really being like thinking through your math stuff.
Mm-hmm. And being able to kind of quickly come up with it based on tens.
It's impressive.
And
mm-hmm. All right. So Alex Trebek's cancer.
I think it was pancreatic cancer.
I am going to defer to you. I have no clue.
I'm pretty sure it's pancreatic because he died really quickly. Unfortunately, my mom got pancreatic cancer and she lived 4 months.
Yeah.
And I think Alex Trebek was the same.
Pancreatic cancer is not news that you want to receive.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's tough stuff.
Yeah, it's tough. Our grandfather.
He had the Whipple surgery, which apparently is don't quote me on this, but at the time, it was a while back, I got a 5% success.
Right. Survive the surgery, a lot of people.
The surgery, yeah. He actually survived it and lived like another 5 years.
Whoa. Oh, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It was, but ultimately, yeah.
Yeah. And then question number two, CISRP. Gelderman, you seem to know
this. So I didn't recognize the first name, but Purple Drink and Lean, that's Jolly Ranchers, Sprite, and is it cough medicine? Some sort of...
Good Lord, Gelderman.
I've never had it. I just know.
Gelderman.
I'll just say Jolly Ranchers. We'll go Jolly Ranchers.
Why do you know so much about CISRP?
You got all of them.
I know.
You knew all three.
I knew all three ingredients.
I don't think anyone at the entire, out of the 100 and whatever people playing, knew all
three. It's just a generational difference.
There you go. Wow.
That's what it is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, don't say amazing on that one. No.
That is very amazing.
So how do we want to do points this
okay,
round?
Okay, so Gelderman's is five for sure.
Yeah, we know about that.
We're going with the two... prime numbers is three, okay. And the pancreatic cancer is one because I'm totally not confident
about that. Okay.
Totally not confident about that one.
Yeah. So you guys got 11 points there.
Oh, 9 points.
Oh, 9 points. Sorry.
Oh, man. I was really hoping for a second. 11.
Yeah. Sorry. 9 points. Pancreatic. I guess it was the pancreas.
It was. Wow.
Yeah. Sure enough. And then, yeah. So it was the codeine cough syrup, which you know very well. Soda. Or as you specified, right. What really
okay, hold
specific.
On, hold on, hold on.
Yeah, a lemon-lime soda, if you will, and then Jolly Ranchers candy. Good job, Gelderman.
Why do you know it, Gelderman?
I don't know.
You don't even know why you know it.
I think it was just on a Netflix show that I watched.
Is this like an after work, you and Andrew Yeager,
we go out back and
got back.
No.
Oh man,
purple drink.
What? So here's how bad I am. I didn't know what purple drink was.
Of course,
I kind of I knew what the concept, and I could have told you cough syrup, and that was it.
I think you'd have to. No offense to Wayne, because Wayne and I are both older people. Mm-hmm. You have to be a younger person, locked into a certain sort of realm of pop culture, probably to have known the scissors.
Yes,
there you go. Okay,
and then of course we'll.
Wayne, you killed this one. There are two prime numbers, and they are 53 and 59.
I was really impressed with the way Wayne thought through that. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. Okay.
I think teams made me play an extra song on that one.
How about that?
Yeah. Which,
That tells me that Joey Bearden was not there.
He was not, yeah.
Because he would have known it immediately.
That's right.
Oh, my mom thought I should have been a mathematician, by the way.
Yeah. Apparently there she's right, yeah.
All right, round six. So, Wayne, this is, we talked earlier before the podcast episode that we're currently recording about how you were going to benefit from having had children who came through Hoover High School, because yes. It's actually possible that your children may have actually, I may have spoken to your children's health class years and years ago.
Wow.
I used to do a week-long sexual assault and dating violence prevention program.
Are you Read the Rape Guy?
I'm Read the Rape Guy.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
This is the fourth time I've heard about this.
I will say
and
this,
everybody just this has is the same first reaction.
This is the first time that knowledge has ever skipped up a generation.
That's
and
true.
Usually it's always someone who just was in the class. But I'm impressed that you knew that.
I love when Absolutely. This plays out live on the
that
air.
That is funny. So just for podcast listeners who don't know, I used to work for a domestic violence shelter, and I would do prevention programs in schools about sexual assault prevention and dating violence prevention. And no matter how much I tried to get students to refer to me as Reed, the sexual assault prevention educator guy, I think because of alliteration, Reed the Rape Guy tended to stick, which is horrifying at first. And then I got used to it pretty quickly, and people in public would be like, oh, it's the Rape Guy. And I'd be like, yes, hello.
All right, so for how long did you do that?
I did that for 11 years.
11 years, wow. And when did you stop doing that?
I stopped doing that around, 2012, maybe? 2011?
Oh, really? Okay.
2011 or 2012,
yeah. So my kids graduated Hoover in 2007 and 2008, and they loved Reed the Rape Guy.
How about that?
And so this... Yeah. comes up in our lives all the time.
Wow.
And so many people now like are adults that have children and, you know, like yeah. and they're yeah. would be out with their families like, let's Read the Rape Guy.
Yeah.
And my next door neighbor moved in and we became friends. And then like months later, she's like, wait, your brother's Read the Rape Guy? Like,
wow.
Because it wasn't just Hoover High School. It was all kinds of schools all over.
So it's a true story. So even though I now am a full-time teacher at Hoover High School, when I was doing sexual assault prevention education programs, I used to occasionally run a survey with the students. And this whole round is just a product of one of those survey questions. All you have to do is try to come up with the top three most popular responses provided possibly by your very own children, Wayne.
Okay.
So... years ago, 15 years or so ago, I asked 110th grade students at Hoover High School to name something you do every time you clean the house. Now, what do you and Gelderman think would have been the most popular answers responded? And we actually have, in this case, five possible answers because there was a three-way tie for third place.
Wow.
So you're going to try to come up with not only the top three answers, but hopefully in the right order as well.
Yeah, so you only put three answers. And we'll tell you kind of how that scoring goes after you guys come up with them. I got this question from a lot of teams, and here's the way I answered it.
Yeah.
They were like, what does that mean? Like the name of a chore or the act, something you're doing while you're doing a chore? And I was like, sure. Yeah. Have to answer what you think the 10th graders, how they interpret
what they say.
How they interpreted the question and whatever they said.
That's the way this round works, is I tell you what I told them, and you're trying to come up with the top three most popular responses.
Okay, so I think the most obvious one is sweep.
I agree. Okay. Sweep.
Dust.
Dust makes the most sense. Clean.
And mop. I would say mop.
I like those three answers the
sweep,
most.
Sweep, dust, and mop.
Okay.
If I assigned my children 15 years ago when they were going to Hoover High to clean the house, I would expect them to sweep, dust, and mop.
Okay.
Then let's go
and
with
you
that.
Want to go in that order, sweep, then dust, then mop?
Let's go in that order, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Will, what are the most popular answers?
Yeah. And so here's how the points work on this, since you don't put point values. If you get the top three in the correct order, you get 11 points automatically. If you get them the top three in the wrong order, you get 9 points.
That's right.
If you get two of them, Reed, you get 8 points.
That's right.
And if you get one, you
that's
get
five points.
Okay.
And if you didn't get any of them, then good gravy, what did you put down?
Yeah. All right. So here were the answers from the 10th grade students. Number one, vacuum.
Oh, y'all didn't say vacuum.
Vacuum.
Dadgummit.
Number two.
That sucks.
Dust.
There we go.
Got that one. And then number three, you have three options here. So the answers were dishes, sweep.
Yes.
So you got those two, or listen to music. Which some people are like, well, here's the thing. I don't know that I would have answered that.
Yeah.
But the first thing that I do when I'm, because I'm like, we have a housekeeper that comes to my house and it's me. On Fridays. Yeah. On Fridays, I do like a 3-hour deep clean at my house.
Wow.
I vacuum almost every day, but on Fridays, I do a deep clean.
Wow.
There's multiple kids, you know, two preteens and two
dogs.
And two dogs. Yeah. So I do a deep clean for like 3 hours. And the first time I mean, the first thing I do is put headphones on my AirPods and, like, boom, I'm listening to music and podcasts.
I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to fantasy football podcast or fantasy baseball podcast.
So I totally can relate to that. Mm-hmm. So those are the answers there. Again, vacuum, then dust, and then the third could be dishes, sweep, or listen to music.
You guys got two of those, so that's 8 points. Well, so good, not bad. Okay. All right, round seven. What one word is needed to fill in the blanks in this memorable quote from a 1985 Tim Burton film? Here's the quote.
Boy, good luck reading this without doing the accent. I started reading. I was like, oh, no, so I can't we know do the actual. An accent. Right. Well, not accent, but the voice. The voice.
Yeah. All right, so the quote is, paging Mr. Blank. Mr. Blank, you have a telephone call at the front desk. So what one word is needed to fill in those two blanks in this memorable quote from a 1985 Tim Burton film? Paging Mr. Blank, Mr. Blank, you have a telephone call at the front desk. How would you do the accent for this, Will? How would you?
Should I do it now?
Yeah, do it now. Let's.
It's just as I read it, I was like, okay, from this Tim Burton film. And then without even having read the question, I went, paging Mr. Blank, Mr. Blank, you have a telephone call at the front desk.
That's pretty good, Will.
That's very good.
Yeah. Okay. Question number two. Located in Florida, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow was a concept developed by what visionary born in 1901? And then question number three. On November 18th, 1999, 12 students from what university were tragically killed in a bonfire-related mishap? All right, so there are the questions for round seven.
I know the second one and the third one. I've got those two nailed.
I only know the second one.
Okay, the first question, I'm not a great movie guy.
Paging,
I mean, if it's Star Wars, I know, I know Beetlejuice was a Tim Burton film. Mm-hmm. Is it Mr. Beetlejuice? I know Nightmare After Christmas was a Tim Burton film. Would it be somebody?
That one wasn't.
Interestingly, Tim Burton, right? That one was actually directed by Henry Selick. That's a very commonly. I think Tim Burton actually was a producer on the Nightmare Before Christmas.
So could it be Beetlejuice? Perhaps I don't think so.
I have a tough time hearing that voice and going, "That sounds like Beetlejuice." Yeah, but honestly, I've never seen Beetlejuice.
Neither. So I don't know. That one's going to be our one pointer for sure.
Yeah, no big deal. So let's talk about the middle one. The experimental prototype community of tomorrow was
That's Walt Gilderman, Disney.
That's Walt Disney. Yeah. We nailed that one.
So that's Epcot, right?
Epcot.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Epcot. Yeah. And question number three, this tragic thing that happened at what university when there was a bonfire mishap?
I got this one. It's Texas A&M.
That sounds familiar.
They were building a big bonfire for their game against Texas that they haven't played. Now they're going to play next year for the first time in 15 years. So,
oh my gosh.
But it's definitely Texas A&M. I know that one.
You know, it's funny to me that tragedy feels like not long ago, but mm-hmm. Gelderman, you were born in what year?
2001.
So this happened 2 years before you were born. Gelderman was born. Man. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. It does seem like last week.
All right. So you're going five and three for the last two.
Yeah. We'll say Walt Disney 5 and Texas A&M 3. Okay, and then
1 point for Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. That's the only answer I can come up with. I know no Tim Burton films. Okay. So,
Will, what was?
I feel like I didn't do the impression well enough.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Paging Mr. Herman. Herman.
No, I have heard that. Mr.
You
Herman.
Have a telephone call at the front desk.
This is Pee Wee Herman.
I'm disappointed in myself. This is the worst. As soon as you said it.
Man.
Paging Mr. Herman.
Completely clueless.
This
on
is
that.
When at the end of the movie, there's a movie made about Pee Wee's life, and he has a cameo role.
But there's a voiceover of like a very deep voice dude doing that, and he Pee Wee's just mouthing, "Paging Mr. Herman."
Oh, that's so cool.
See, I gotta go back and re-see that.
I agree.
So
now
in 1985, I was in law school.
Oh, well, there you go.
Have you not seen the movie though, Wayne?
I have never.
It's wonderful.
I think you'll love it. It's one of my favorite movies.
I should see it. In 1985, I started law school, and then I had 3 years of law school, and then I had three children within the next 18 months.
Oh, that'll do it.
So for about 5 years, I know
nothing. Wait a minute. Wait, three kids in 18 months, not 18 months.
Yeah, I had one, and 11 months later, I had two more. I had three kids in 11 months.
Oh, because of twins.
Oh, you're twins.
My
wife did anyway. So yes, shout out to Laurie. Thank you. So my wife had, and she had all three of them when she was 25 years old. So had my daughter turn 25 2 weeks later. I had my daughter. So she turned 25, okay. had my then daughter had 2 weeks later, 11 months after that, had the boys. And 2 weeks later, she turned 26.
I had three children while I was 25. That's like a Lifetime movie title. Like
seriously,
waiting
to yeah. pretty wild, isn't it?
That's insane. yeah. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So that was 8 points there by you guys. Because yes. indeed, Walt Disney and Texas A&M.
All right.
Round eight.
Hey, we didn't finish last. We got 60 points already.
That's right.
So correct. Far. Yeah. I mean, okay. you've got plenty of opportunity.
You're keeping track for me?
You're telling me I didn't need to be. Look at all these notes he's taking.
I know.
Constantly writing.
He's doing it all. All right. Round eight, final round of regulation play before the bonus round question. All right. Question number one. What word can be used to complete any of the following titles of documentary films directed by Michael Apted? It's 21 blank, 28 blank, 35 blank. What one word can go in to complete all three of those film titles?
I'm glad you pronounced it Michael Apted because I did not know his name. Right. And well, that's how I said it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I was like, I don't know any other way. If, you know.
Yep, I think that's the way you'd say it. Question number two. Founded in 1958 and headquartered in Appleton, Wisconsin, the John Blank Society has a mission that includes achieving, quote, less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. So
it's Wayne knows this one.
Huh. It's the John Blank Society.
I got that one.
Question number three. Angie Thomas is most famous for her first novel, published in 2017, titled The Blank You Blank. And in this case, the title, the U in the middle is just the letter U. The Blank You Blank. All right. So what's the name of that book? All right, guys, let's talk about the correct answers.
So I feel pretty good about the first and third.
Yeah, I think okay. this may be so what's, a
what's
big round
the first one? Because I'm not great on the first one.
No, what
one?
Was the, could you?
21 blank, 28
yes.
blank.
So it's intervals of seven, so it has to be days.
Okay. okay. 21 days.
21 days, 28 days, 35 days.
That okay. makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay.
But the second one I know is the John Birch Society.
Oh, I've heard mm-hmm. of this. Yes.
The John Birch, it's a right-wing group. Well, it's a small government group that's sort of
like a libertarian
into
kind of,
mutated into some right-wing stuff.
Yeah, I think it is kind of the birthplace of QAnon, what has become all that.
Yes, 100%. And I think the last one is The Hate U Give.
The Hate U Give, that's okay. right.
All right, so how do you want to do points this round?
Ooh, I mean, John Birch is, I know that's right.
The so last two are for sure, for sure.
So let's go 1, 5, 3.
Or do we want to go for 11?
Want to go for 11?
It's round 8. We might as well
go for 11.
We
don't want to go for 11.
We don't want to go for 11.
We don't want to go for 11. I don't think so. I think I'm not.
Is it people? What was it? What was
weeks? Go ahead. 21 weeks? 28?
21 right,
so,
weeks?
So let's say, let's keep what Wayne went with points
we're,
there.
We're going to go with 1, 5, 3.
Yeah, 1, 5, 3.
You guys. All right. So yeah, you got 8 points. So number one, and I didn't know this either. Yeah. And I don't think many of the players at the game the other night knew this, but it's up. 21 up, 28 up, and 35 up. Reed, what is this?
Let me talk about this just for a second. Sometimes I write trivia questions because I think people are going to know the answer. And sometimes I write them because I want to like share something with people that they probably didn't know.
Nice.
Listen, Michael Apted in the 1960s, I believe, made a movie called 7 Up, which is funny because it makes it sound like it's going to be about soda.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. But what he did is he found a group of like 20 kids in like London, right? And he just interviewed them about like, tell me about your life and what do you think your life is going to be like?
That's so cool.
And then what he did is every 7 years he returned and made another film. So there's 7 Up, there's 14 Up, there's 21 Up, there's 28 Up, 35 Up, etc. And he made it until Michael Apted died a few years ago, unfortunately.
Wow.
But I want to say the last movie was maybe 56 Up.
That is so cool.
Maybe even one beyond that, right? So maybe even 63 Up. But here's the cool thing about it is you get to track these same 20 kids and it is amazing. And you got to start at the very beginning of the series and just watch the first one and then the boom, 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 every single one. And it is such a cool, like human experience to see these kids grow up and who they become and how their views change over time. And can't recommend it highly enough.
Wow.
So start with 7 Up.
That reminds me of the movie Boyhood, you know, sort of the concept behind that. Yeah. I mean, this is an even sort of much lengthier concept
Wow.
Now, what is Boyhood?
Boyhood is the one where the director like chose this child actor and then filmed like over 10 years.
Here's the thing.
And let the guy grow up.
When I started the morning show that I host, and it's so funny you say that. I'm over here like Googling. The very first person I ever interviewed was the actor from Boyhood.
No way.
The very first interview I did was Eller Coltrane.
Yeah.
Who was the actor that started when he was a kid and grew up in the film, and it was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, it should have won.
Yeah, and he was in town maybe for Sidewalk or something, but whatever. It was my first day.
Wow.
And I interviewed Eller Coltrane.
That's really cool.
Very
from that,
cool.
From Boyhood, that movie. And that's as I was like Googling, what's the name of that movie? I was typing all this stuff. You said it. And I was like, wait a minute, that's it.
Very cool.
Ethan Hawke. Yeah. Patricia Arquette.
Right, right. Yeah,
very cool. Yeah. All right. So that brings us now to the bonus question. All right. So after a rule change in 1988, during the bonus round of Wheel of Fortune, players were given six letters and then asked to pick four more. E was one of the six that they were given. What were the other five letters that they were automatically given in the bonus round of Wheel of Fortune after that rules change in 1988? Guys, what do y'all think?
And this is one where I had teams because we always like ask the question, then we'll play a song and I'll come back and get the answers. And as the song is playing, teams are just turning
boom,
in.
Boom, boom, boom.
Like, oh, we got, you don't have to check. We got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's good to hear because I have seen Wheel of Fortune once.
So I'm not a big fan, but I do love Wordle.
Oh,
okay.
So
I like
start
this.
With slate. Always start with slate. Yeah. So I think it's R S T N and D, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
And so here's how this works. I mean, you don't have to go you don't have to put point values, right? Okay. They're each correct answer is worth 3. If you feel like super confident you know all five, you could go for 20, but if you miss even one, you get 0 points.
Right.
I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So you said what again, Wayne?
R S T N and D.
Okay. Gelderman, you want to go with that?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay. Will, what are these letters?
All right. So you guys are going to get 12 points, which is great.
Okay.
So R S T and then L and N. I say it in that order because that's kind of the order they put them
up there.
And
Wayne, that's
so
funny because you revealed your starting word for Wordle, which includes the letter L, but you didn't pick L as one of the...
You know, and here's my thing. So I've never said my starting word, and it won't matter for you in my group because I don't post my... You don't see my
actual
thing.
Right, that's true.
But my starting word is abide. And out of 680 whatever times, it never came up as the number one until like a couple of weeks ago. And it came up as the first.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you got it in one.
And so people like wrote into me because I posted on my story or whatever. I don't post my score ever. Except that day. I was like, oh, here it is. Finally. And so many people wrote in to my story and said like, now what's your new starting word going to be?
It's still going to be
still that because it plays
it's
so
been
well
successful
for
you.
I've only missed 6 out of 700 and whatever games.
Wow. Like, dang.
So
I had to change my starting word a couple of months ago because I just found myself frustrated occasionally with my previous starting word was leaving me in a weird spot occasionally. Mm. So I've tweaked my starting word recently.
So I tweaked my starting word based on the New York Times article that said that slate was the best starting word.
Oh,
y'all haven't read that.
I've read those. The number one starting word, I forget what it is. I've used it as a trivia question before.
Audio.
Maybe it is now.
To knock out a lot of the floor.
I thought it was adieu.
It might be a adieu.
I used to use adieu.
I used audio for a long time until I read that article and was like, I'm going with slate now. And it's better. There's no question.
Yeah.
Abide works.
I haven't missed one since I started using slate.
You doing connections?
Oh, I love connections.
Connections are
so great.
Yeah. Listen.
I do the crossword every day.
What about strands?
Strands has become my
strands.
It's good.
Which one is strands?
It's in beta right now.
It's a word search.
It's right there in the New York Times game list. Yeah. It's in beta.
Wow. I haven't tried that.
It has become my favorite.
I love strands.
Interesting. Yeah. I love connections for sure.
Yeah, so good.
But I'm an old school crossword nerd, man. Mm-hmm. I love the crossword.
My morning start, as far as like once I get to work, because all my pre-production work for the morning show is done. So when I get in, I can like quickly do the news in that first break. And then I like take a deep breath and I do Wordle, the mini connections and strands, like boom, 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 boom,
nice.
Boom, and knock them out before the next break. And then it's like, okay, now my brain's working.
It's a good way to start your day. Gelderman, what was the final score here?
Our final score was 80.
Hey,
nice.
That's a good score.
For two people. Hey, listen, and I think that would have been fourth place, only because the third place we had a two-way tie at 82.
Yeah.
So those teams tied at 82.
Good job, guys.
That 92 was a real standout team.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah. We're winners.
That is awesome. That was a lot of fun. Wayne,
it was great fun.
Yeah, seriously. We'll have to come back and be our trivia guest again.
Oh, I'd love to do that, man. I'd love to do that.
Hey, and so for our podcast listeners that are going to be hearing this, let's say, like, the day it comes out, which is April 12th. If you live in Alabama, there is a runoff election coming up on Tuesday, April 16th. It's really important. There are no Republican candidates in this.
This is Jefferson County.
Oh, right. Jefferson County, you're right. So, yeah, no Republican candidates because they've all decided their primaries. But there are some really important ones from the Democratic side.
Exactly right. There's five Democratic runoffs that will happen on Tuesday. There's a one countywide one. That's the probate judge place one, which is the chief election officer and also the person who manages the probate court, appoints the county administrator, for instance. There's one race in Birmingham division that's a family court position. There's a assistant tax collector position in the Bessemer division. And then there are two constable races in District 52 and District 60.
Awesome.
And I think you said earlier, constables help people who are suffering from constipation. Is that correct?
Something I couldn't remember. It was a horse's situation.
Wayne, we sure do appreciate your service because no matter what your political beliefs are, we need people doing the jobs to help us have our governmental structure. So thank you for doing the job you do.
Thanks so much, Reed. It's a pleasure to do. I love public service. It's been a passion of mine my whole life. And so pleased to get to do it.
Okay. All right. So podcast listeners, thanks for playing along. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Trivia with Will and Reed, wherever you get your podcast. Radio listeners, we're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to come back with some lightning round trivia to finish the night out after this.